Let's grab our Bibles this morning and let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. As we continue our study in the book of Ephesians. And today we get to a new section that we're going to have a look at. A new topic, if you want to call it that, out of the passage. And we're in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. And we're really going to look at verse number 21. Praise the Lord too, brother. Yeah. No? Still not on? Now? Now it's on? So it was on the whole time? Oh, well, there you go. I hope you didn't record me singing, all right? I better not hear Gus's greatest hits come out, all right? maybe the rapture will happen before that, so that's all right. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to be looking at the philosophy of submission. And we're looking at verse number 21, but for context, I want to read from verse number 18. The Bible says there, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And we looked at that last week. And this week we're looking at verse number 21. It says, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the what? In the fear of God." Let's go ahead and pray and let's commit this passage to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We give you all the praise and glory for your most marvelous words, Father God. Thank you for giving us the Bible. Thank you for giving us the complete and finished counsel of God for man. And Father, we just pray as we approach this subject of submission today that you'd give us a soft and tender heart. Lord, we pray that we would just come under the preaching of God's word and we would put aside the preconceived notions that we may have on what submission actually is and have a look afresh at what God calls submission. Father, the only definition that matters is your definition. So, Lord, we pray that you'd just help us to listen. Father, you'd help us to hear what the Spirit of God saith unto us this morning. So have your will and your way with this message. Have your will and your way with the preacher this morning. Lord, I pray that you would use me to be a blessing to these, my brethren. Father, that you would help me to preach with boldness and unction and in the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. Father, I don't want anything of me. I want my dear brothers and sisters in Christ to see you. Lord, we want you to increase and we want to decrease. And Father, we pray that this morning the preaching time would be all about our great and wonderful God. We thank you, we love you, and we commit this to you in Jesus' precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. This passage is a bridge thought between the old man and the new man. And we've been looking at that from chapter 4, verse 17, all the way to chapter 5, verse 17. And we've been discussing the practical discussion, the practical talk in here about relationships. And that bridge thought is an emphasis on the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And we discussed how this is not an experience that I have. The fullness of the Holy Ghost is not the heebie-jeebies or the feeling that I get. It is having more and more of God in more and more areas of our life. And what we have been talking about is that this fullness of the Holy Ghost is revealed in three ways in the life of the believer. And we looked at two already. We looked at singing, okay? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And last week we looked at giving of thanks. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, church, we come to the last of these three, which is this subject of submission. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This last thought, submission, is then developed in here in our text for the next 20 verses in a stretch of practical instruction as it relates to the relationships we have in our life, in things like marriage and our church life, and things like our relationship with the children and the children in their relationship with the parents. And it even goes forth to talk about our relationships at work. But before we begin to discuss these over the next few weeks, I want to spend some time looking at the subject of submission itself. And I would like us to build a foundation on which to place the blocks of practical instructions that we're about to get from the Apostle Paul, and to place these in a special like foundational teaching that will give us here in this section of Ephesians a clearer jumping platform into these things. Now, church, this is helpful because the Christ life is the exact opposite of the self life. The self life is selfish, desires to look after number one, that's me, at all cost, and so naturally its character is one of rebelliousness. It constantly fights, whinges against and stands up to authority as it determines to go its own way. Just like Isaiah 53 told us that we have all of us have gone, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, Isaiah 53 and verse 6. The Christ life is in contrast selfless, it is submitted, and thus characterized by simple obedience. It constantly seeks to yield its will for the Lord's will and to go his way, like Psalm 25 teaches us. And in so doing, the Christ life is foundationally submissive to all the authorities that God has placed in its life. The reality is, church, then, when we hear the word submission, our flesh naturally does this. It just recoils. Because the world has taught us that submission is weakness. The world has taught us that submission is loss, that submission is oppression, and that submission is inferiority. But church, listen, in the Bible, submission is not weakness at all. Submission is strength under control. In fact, every healthy relationship in life is built upon the foundation of submission. Let me tell you this morning, maybe something that you would know in your own home and you may have had a glimpse of it. Without submission, folks, there is chaos in the home. Without submission, there is confusion in the church. Without submission, there's rebellion in society and there's division in relationships. Really, submission is not about who is better. It is about God establishing order so that his purposes can function properly. And before Paul ever deals with wives, and before ever he deals with husbands and children and servants and masters or even church relationships, he first establishes the philosophy behind it all. And thus he declares, submitting yourselves one to another in the what? In the fear of God. So let me give you some things to lay a foundation that will help us over the next few weeks as we deal with relational submission. Let me give you the first one. Submission is respectful obedience. Okay? Point number one. Submission is respectful obedience. In our culture, we sometimes think the word submit implies a resentful, bitter yielding. We've come to define submission in society as someone who obeys finally as a last resort because they have to. We think of it as doing the will of someone else, but I really don't want to do that. I really don't want to say that. I really don't want to go there, but I will because I have no other option. And that's what we seem to think submission is all about. But such is clearly not the implication here in my Bible, folks. It is a mutual love-driven obedience that is framed with honor and is framed with respect that goes both directions. Things like love and cherish, words like nourish and reverence and honor and nurture all describe biblical submission. Submission is not, I have to yield. Submission is, I want to yield. And we start to see, when we let God define our terminology, how things are different, folks. Take Jonathan, for example, in the Bible. Take Jonathan and David. Jonathan was the rightful heir to the throne from a human perspective, folks. He was Saul's son. He was the crown prince of God's people. The throne should have naturally passed on to Jonathan. Yet when Jonathan recognizes that God's hand was on David, he willingly yielded himself to God's plan. And in 1 Samuel 23, verse number 17, he says, "And thou," Jonathan speaking to David, "and thou shalt be king over all of Israel, and I shall be the next unto thee." Now, church, you think about that for just one moment. Jonathan was not forced into submission here, kicking and screaming, folks. Nothing that I read of this story, and I've read it 100 times, he was not bitter. Jonathan was not resentful. Jonathan did not try to undermine David behind the scenes. No, folks, instead he loved David. Their hearts were knit together, the Bible says. He protected David. He strengthened David. He willingly yielded to what God was doing in David's life. That, my friends, is the spirit of biblical submission. It's not, you know, fine, then I'll do it if I have to. But rather, I gladly yield myself for the good of another and for the will of God. Let me tell you this morning, my dear church, submission biblically is not just obedience of the hands, it is the surrender of the heart. You will not submit to anything or to anyone that is not first has a hold of your heart. Submission is not just obedience of the hands, it is surrender of the heart. Leads me to point number two. Submission in our human relationships is not to someone, it is through God. That's what biblical submission is. It's not to someone, it is through God. The foundational thinking for a Christian's submission to appropriate human authority is that this human authority has been placed there by God Himself for my benefit. Do we look at submission that way? Do we look at authority that way? Take our government, for example. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13, please. Romans chapter 13. Praise the Lord for a warm, dry church building. Amen. We've got brethren all over this world who are meeting under trees in this weather, folks. Thank the Lord. Amen. Romans 13, look at verse number 1. Let every soul be subject. That means let every soul come under submission unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are what, church? Ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he's the minister of God. Did you notice that? He is the minister of God to thee for what? For good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore he must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Government, church, is allowed to govern at God's will. We have the government we have because God wills it so. He has allowed that. God placed them there. God places all authority for his own purposes. So let me ask you this morning, when we think about authority in that light, all authority, not just government, but all authority in my life, when we think about it, let me ask you some questions. Like wives, right? Wives. Who placed your husband in authority over you? To the children, right? Who placed your parents in authority over you? If you're an employee here, if you work for a boss, employee, who placed your boss in authority over you? Church, who placed Christ over us? To us Aussies, I mean, who placed our government over us? Folks, this is the reason we joyfully submit. Maybe not always happily, right? But always having not lost the joy. And again, and we need to learn the difference between joy and happiness, amen? Now, you don't have to be happy with their decisions, but I can submit to that and remain joyful in Christ. Submission, a respectful obedience, is not founded on our human relationships. It is founded on our attitudes towards God, church. And so Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourselves one to another, but it's conditional. Yes, submission is there. And I ought to submit to you, and you ought to submit to me, and I ought to submit to government, and I ought to submit to my boss, and you know, the Bible teaches anything, but it's conditional. Submitting yourselves one to another in the reverence, in the fear of God. So I submit not because I fear my dad, and I submit not because I fear my husband, and I submit not because I fear my boss or the government. I submit because I fear and reverence my God. A tremendous example here is David himself and how he related to King Saul. You understand, you guys have read these stories. Folks, listen, Saul was not a good leader by this stage. He was a bitter, jealous man. I mean, talk about irrational. Talk about a man who was spiritually compromised to the nth degree. I mean, he didn't know what to do, so he thought, spiritually compromised man that he was, I'm just going to go speak to the witch at Endor and see if I can raise Samuel and get him to give me counsel. I mean, this is King Saul. Yeah, he's openly trying to murder David. And yet David repeatedly refused to rebel against Saul because David understood something that's foundational when it comes to submission, church. Saul may have been failing as a king, but God was still the one who placed him there. And in 1 Samuel chapter 24 and verse number 6, David says, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master," when everyone was telling him, you just give me the order, I'll go kill him for you. David, you don't even have to get your hands dirty. In fact, one of his men comes to him and says, "David, I know that Saul is sleeping in a cave and he's right there and he's out with the fairies and I'll just thrust my javelin through him and he won't even know what happened and you don't have to even crack a sweat, mate." And David says the same thing he said over and over and over. "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master." He says, "He's the Lord's anointed." David did not submit because Saul was always right, folks. David submitted because God was always right. That is such an important distinction when we're talking about submission. Folks, anyone can follow leadership when every decision they make makes us happy. Anyone can follow authority when we would have made the same decision that they have made. But spiritual maturity is revealed when I can still maintain a submissive spirit even when I'm disappointed, even when I'm confused, even when I'm hurt. And David understood that. If God wants Saul removed, God can remove Saul. It is God that setteth up kings and removeth kings. David had it clear. God never told me to do it. And so now Saul is in God's hand. And David was a man who, if God told him to take Saul's life, he would have taken it. Like, you know, in that dispensation, that's how God worked. Folks, the reality is we do not need to step outside God's order to accomplish God's will, church. Did we hear that? We don't need to step outside of God's order to accomplish the will of God. Leads me to point number three. It is this principle which rescues this concept of submission from the self-justified rebellion of disappointed followers. If we understand biblical submission, it's that principle which rescues submission as a whole from the self-justified rebellion of disappointed followers. See, folks, the wife can say, well, you know, I will respect and obey like I promised in my vows as long as he loves me tenderly and he takes good care of me and he makes some wise decisions. The child can say, well, I will respect, honor, obey my parents as long as they take good care of me and make decisions I think are the right ones. Let me say this to you. A, that is never true all the time. Folks, that is an impossible standard for a human being to meet. B, that makes you the authority because you are the one setting the standard. And see, that makes your respectful obedience contingent on you understanding and agreeing with what your authority does. And very often, my dear church, that is just not true. We are not always going to agree with the authority that God places over us. Case in point, personally speaking, me, our current government. So why you do something is often as important as what you do. And if you have the wrong why underneath your respectful submission, you are going to rebel one day. If you are not submitting for the right reason, the right motive, that submission, my dear friend, is only temporary. And I don't care who you're submitting to. If it's not for the right reason, that submission will go out the window one day. That's why parents, listen, it is important to teach your kids that their submitting to you is not just about them doing what you say. We have to teach them that they need to submit and follow and obey mom and dad because they love us. So we're teaching them to obey and walk with God because they love God, not because just what God says. Because when they get to an age when they don't need to obey, they're out the door. And you have the why wrong, your submission will be wrong. You'll think that one day you're going to think your authorities just treated you too harshly. And we'll get this cancer in us, this character cancer, which is called entitlement. How dare they? You'll see your authorities will be hypocritical, demanding one thing of you while you go ahead and you just do your own thing. You do, like my son says, you do you. Apparently it's a term now that young people use. You do you. Your authorities will make some dumb mistakes, and those mistakes will have seriously negative consequences. And listen, my friends, what you do after that tells me if you understand biblical submission or not. So if you think submission is to a person, you will inevitably and eventually have all the rationale in your mind that you need to rebel. If you think that submission is to a human being, that is the way of thinking that will eventually cause you to say, it's enough. No more. If, on the other hand, you realize submission is through an authority figure to God, then you will let Him take care of the problem while you continue to respectfully obey. And you say, that's horrible, Pastor Gus. You are taking away my right of self-determination. You're taking away my personal freedoms and my personal liberties. Hey, are you really saying I'm supposed to act as if my authority is always right? No, that is not what I'm saying at all, folks. I'm saying that we only have one basic authority, and that is God Himself. And fearing Him is the only way to build a life well lived, and God knows what He's doing, church. Listen, folks, is God omniscient? Is God sovereign? Well, of course He is. Then did He know about your human authority's flaws ahead of time? Of course He did. You see, brethren, submission is not about them. It isn't about you. Submission is not about me. Submission is all about God. So respectful obedience granted towards men is not because of them. It's because of God. It is not toward them. It is through them towards Him. And we have countless examples in the Bible where I stand on what I'm preaching 1,000%, folks. This is biblical truth. And we have to stop, as God's people, getting things from out there and thinking that we know the definition of what this says. It works the other way. We get what they say, we check it with the script and go, no, they're wrong. And submission is one of those things. Look at Joseph's life. Joseph under Potiphar and later under Pharaoh in the prison. I mean, if there ever was going to be a picture of biblical submission, it is Joseph. Joseph repeatedly found himself under flawed human authority, amen? I mean, think about what happened to him. He was betrayed by his carnal brothers. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. I mean, he got blamed for atrocities that he never committed by her. She pointed the finger at him. I mean, he was thrown in prison there and forgotten by all authorities, according to what we read. Now think about it. Joseph had every human reasoning to become bitter and rebellious and become cynical and resistant. You know, he could have said, man, these people are just unfair. Look what I did for Potiphar. Look what his house was like before I got there. And now I'm in prison. And look what his house is like. Look what God blessed him with. And look at me now. He could have had that. That was the truth of the situation. In prison, he could have said, you know, these authorities, they abuse me. These guys make all these terrible decisions. And when we look at that, folks, these are all stuff that we say when we don't like what authority says and does. In our heart of hearts, we say those things. And sometimes we even let the world know about it. Folks, but Joseph never lost his submissive spirit towards God. Why? Because Joseph understood that ultimately his life was not in Potiphar's hands. His life was not in the jailer's hands. His life was not even in Pharaoh's hands. His life was in God's hands. And because Joseph kept responding correctly to God, God eventually elevated him at the proper time. Genesis 39, verses 21 to 23 repeatedly emphasizes this truth. He says, but the Lord was with Joseph. This bad situation, but the Lord was with Joseph. This atrocity, this naming, this false accusation, but the Lord was with Joseph. You may not like what is going on, but let me ask you, is God's hand with you? So let me remind you of some things this morning, church. It's always 10 o'clock, so it's always this morning, amen? Your career, your job is not in your employer's hands. Your marriage is not in your spouse's hands. Your relationship with people, your relationship with families, and your relationship with friends, they're not in your or their hands. Listen, they are in God's hand. And church, listen, this is the key. Submission is not about trusting that human authority is perfect. Submission is trusting that God is sovereign enough to work even through the imperfections of humanity. When I rebel against every authority that disappoints me, I'm really revealing that my faith was never in God's sovereignty to begin with. When I rebel against the authority that God placed for me, I am really telling God that my faith was never in His sovereignty to begin with. That leads me to my last point. We're almost done. Personally, I want to talk to you leaders. To you guys that wield authority. To the boss man. To you guys that have your own business and have staff. To husbands, to mothers, to kids in the family who take care of the younger ones. It isn't about you either, folks. It's about God. The reality is people aren't going to fall in line because you provide for them. People aren't going to stay in line because you are so wise that they never make a mistake for you. So it's not your screaming and your condescension it's not your charismatic personality, it's not your brilliant leadership that is foundation of their submission. It comes down to their attitude towards God. See, folks, understand this. It is the fear of God that frees us to submit, biblically speaking. What does Proverbs 29:25 tell us? But the fear of man bringeth a snare. Be careful how you lead. Be careful how you practice what you want people to how you want people to follow you with what tools you use in your character to get fellowship. Because if they fear you, if they are scared of you, it brings a snare for them. If they are scared of you, it will be to their snare. Be careful, boss man. Be careful, husband. Okay? You lead by intimidation and fear. You're going against the very thing that you desire out of them. So don't lead them to follow you for you. Don't lead them even to follow you for them. Lead them to follow you for God. And that works, folks, if they're Christian or not. You let your unsaved staff know the decisions you make, the authority they have is God placed you over them. Or what will they think? Who cares? God knows what he's doing. The other way doesn't work. The world's way doesn't work. Remember Rehoboam in 1 Kings chapter 12? When Rehoboam became king after Solomon, the people came respectfully and humbly asking for relief from those heavy burdens that Solomon had placed upon them. And the older, the grey hairs and the no-haired counsellors told Rehoboam in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 7, they say this to him, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, he said this, they will be thy servant forever. But Rehoboam rejected servant leadership. He had his own view of what these people's submission should look like. They will never submit if I serve them. He had that mentality. I will come across as weak. And they will take advantage of me. And so he gets counsel from the young men. And so he chose leadership with intimidation. And leadership that contained harshness and fear in order to get the nation to submit to him. And so he tells them plain as day, my father chastised you with whips, but I'm going to chastise you with scorpions. Oh, what a great man that you are, Rehoboam. And church, you know what happened. He thought that stronger pressure would produce stronger loyalty. He thought fear would secure the obedience of the people. But all it produced was division. All it produced was rebellion. And in the end, a disaster. The kingdom split almost immediately. 10 tribes walked away. And the nation was permanently fractured. Why? Because leadership built on fear may control people temporarily, but it never truly shepherds a heart, folks. Yes, you lead by intimidation and fear and spiritual oppression, if you want to call it that, and they will submit, but only temporarily. Because you won't be shepherding the heart. So leaders, listen, if people only follow you because they're scared of you, then the moment that fear weakens, rebellion will rise. The wife will scream back, storm out. The kids won't just say anything, they'll just walk straight out the door. people just won't show up for church anymore. If that is the way we expect to run leadership, the kind of submission that we're instilling. But when you point people past yourself and towards God, then their obedience becomes rooted in reverence for God, not intimidation by you. And especially out of all places, listen, church leadership has to understand this. Your pastor needs to know this. The deacons need to know this. I frustrate him. I know in his training that I frustrate him a lot. I share with him some things as part of his training, some things that happen in church, some things that I think I need to prepare him for, things that he may have to encounter. And I tell him things, and sometimes he looks at me with eyes wide open and says, "What are you going to do?" "You get him in the office and fix him." "You give him what for? I mean, you're the pastor." No. "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave it with the Lord and see what he does." Okay, let's see how that works out. He doesn't like it when I tell him, "I'm not going to do anything about it until God tells me to do something." God is sovereign, folks. You have only one real authority over you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, your God. The times that I come and I tap you on the shoulder and I say, "We need to have a chat," be mindful, is because God said, "Go give him a hand." I'm not here to fix your life, church. I'm here to point you to the one that can. You know, Nehemiah in the Bible, he didn't lead through intimidation or self-authority. All he did was continually and consistently point the people that were working with him back to God. And he reminds them in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14, he said to them, "Be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible." Church, Nehemiah understood something really, really important. If the people feared God properly, they would willingly work and they would willingly sacrifice and they would willingly submit and stay faithful together. And what happened then? Boy, oh boy, God got a hold of their heart and the walls were built in 52 days because the people were united, not by fear of Nehemiah, by confidence in their God. Amen? How's your understanding of submission this morning? I want you to think about this week. Because we are all of us in authority over someone. And all of us are in submission to others. So let me close with this when we're done. This is the philosophy of biblical submission. It maintains appropriate respect and obedience even in the face of flawed human authority figures, church. And it both pleases God and humbles men. Always remember the pendulum of an unbalanced approach towards leadership. That pendulum of submission is waving from side to side. And on one side, you have the character that says, "Oh man, these guys, these leaders, this authority, I mean, they are terrible. I'm not doing anything that they say." That's bad. But the pendulum sweeps all the way to the other side. And you go, "Oh man, these guys, my youth leader and my pastor and you know my counselor, these guys, they're awesome. And I'll just do whatever they say." Folks, that's not good either. And what happens is when we have that pendulum effect in our life and we go back and forth, it goes as you react again and again and again. Listen, a life lived via reactions, you're never going to get anywhere in your Christian life. You'll be two steps forward, two steps back. Two steps to the right, two steps to the left. It's called stalemate and you're stuck. So understand, if you get nothing else, submission, biblically, has nothing to do with your humanity. Submission is about deity. Submission is about honoring God and letting Him be God. So let me ask you this morning, humbly, please. Let me ask you honestly. How do you respond when authority disappoints you? What happens in your heart when the authority over you makes a mistake and doesn't do things the way you think they should be done? I don't know, folks. I am going to disappoint you. Oh, Pastor, you haven't disappointed me yet. Hang around for a while. I'll get there. Give me an opportunity. Hey, how do you react when leadership makes mistakes? Folks, how do we handle being told no? See, parents, we have this expectation of how our kids should handle being told no. Well, how do we handle when God says no? How do we handle being corrected? How do we handle when we're overlooked? How do we handle when we're required to yield to the will of another? Because listen, folks, your response to authority reveals far more about your own heart than it does theirs. Folks, there are some people in this room that are fighting battles in their marriage because pride refuses to yield. We have some young people that are battling their parents at every turn because self wants its own way. Some employees despise authority. Some believers resist spiritual leadership the moment they dislike a decision. And church, if we are not careful, we can cloak rebellion in the language of, oh, I'm just showing discernment. We can cloak rebellion in the language of fairness or personal liberties, while all along the flesh simply does what it wants to. And we haven't got a clue what biblical submission is all about. You know, Jesus Christ himself demonstrated the perfect spirit of submission. Philippians chapter 2 says this, and you know it. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Folks, the Christ life is a submitted life. And the fuller I am of the Spirit of God, the less I demand my own way. So this morning I want to challenge you. Folks, listen, stop making your obedience contingent on perfect people. Stop letting disappointments become justification for you wanting your own way. Let's call it what it is. Stop letting disappointments become justification for having a rebellious attitude. And by all that is holy, stop living a reactionary Christianity. Instead, determine this morning, Lord, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to trust you, and I will respectfully obey where it is biblical and appropriate. And I will let you be God over the authorities and the relationships in my life. Some of us need to come home and just let God be God, folks. Maybe this morning you need to, just where you are, you need to pray and surrender your spirit to the Lord again. Maybe bitterness has crept in. Maybe rebellion, the spirit of rebellion has taken root. Maybe pride has already hardened your heart, church. Maybe you've been leading others for yourself instead of leading them towards God. And we're just going to pray in just a moment. But listen, if God has spoken to your heart this morning, again, by all that is holy, submit now and talk to God. The philosophy of submission. Do we have it down biblically in our own lives? Amen? Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, we confess that our flesh naturally resists submission. Father, we want our own way. We want control. We want to react when we're hurt and when we're disappointed and when we're frustrated. Literally, Lord, the flesh wants its pound of flesh. But Lord, help us this morning. Help this church to be a church full of spirit-filled believers who honor you in the way that we respond to authority and in the way that we lead others. Father, would you teach us humility? Teach us wisdom. Father, would you teach us discernment balanced with submission? Protect us from rebellion on one side and just blind idolatry of men on the other. Oh, dear Lord, would you help husbands to lead for your glory? Help wives to submit with joy unto the Lord. Would you enable the children to joyfully obey their parents? Would you help the leaders to shepherd people towards Christ and not towards themselves? And Father, we pray this morning that you'd help all of us to remember that ultimately you are the highest authority over our lives. And Lord, we pray that our lives would reflect the Spirit of Christ. Obedient, humble, yielded, and trusting in the Father. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's go ahead and